Hey everyone, and welcome to the first podcast of Kush Books. So, trying to pull up my notes here. First of all, I'm in Joplin, Missouri, which I think most of you know by now that is not actually where I live. I have been traveling for the past 3 weeks. I'm in Joplin, I went to Branson, and I went to Tulsa, and I've been working overnights for my day job, you know. So, I'm exhausted. I am just freaking exhausted. I have two more overnights left, and they tried to ask if I would stay for an extra one, and I was like, nah, man. I'm done with this whole vampire thing. I am over it. So, been helping out with some remodels with that. That's why I've been kind of disappearing. I feel so bad. I had a new book come out with my friend Allie this week, which I'll get to that in a minute. And, I've been horrible keeping up with that and spreading the news for it, so sorry, Allie. So some of you may wonder, you probably saw the post if you actually clicked on it, why is Cassandra doing a podcast? Well, I know that some of you have watched some of the YouTube videos that I put out and everything like that, and it is hard to keep up with the YouTube videos and stuff like that. I also feel like the YouTube whole market is just saturated now. It's not quite the tool that it used to be. And honestly, if you're like me, you both don't really have all that time to sit and binge watch videos. I know that, you know, there are days when I love to go and do that and find some new YouTube people to follow and some makeup tutorials, and we all fall down that black hole. But as a day-to-day thing, it's not really a super effective way to communicate stuff to you. And lately I have been getting into podcasts and stuff like that. And I actually, during all my traveling, I've been listening to podcasts the whole time because, you know, there's a ton of good free ones. I don't know if any of you have listened to that Anand Syed serial one. Oh my gosh, that was so good. I loved listening to that. So, and then, I think I said A before, but B is I actually have to do my hair and put on makeup to make a YouTube video, which is ridiculous. It's hard. At my job, I do a lot of heavy lifting. You know, I'm there doing workload early in the morning. It's usually at like 5 a.m. and unloading trucks and stocking freight. So coming home and showering and putting on makeup again or for the first time that day is not really super appealing. And y'all don't need to see me without that stuff. So I thought, you know, why not move to the podcast avenue? You guys can listen to me if you so desire while you're doing other things. And we can both just try and be a little more productive. So, yeah, that's kind of why we're here where we are. I plan on, you know, sharing some writing tips and stuff like that and letting you guys know what's up with my writing and what's going on in the life of Cassandra Cush, which right now it's being a vampire and traveling around, and hopefully by the time I get home this weekend and once I get settled back into my own store back home, things will calm down a little bit. But while we're on that note, some of you may have seen, I do have a new book out. I know, it has been over a year since my last work has come out. This is not a solo work. It's something that was written with my friend, Allison Gottlieb. Her and I, that's probably a story for another podcast, but we actually met online. She lives in California. At the time, I was living in Florida. And we met on a writing website and hit it off. We've been friends for 3 years and decided to do a collaboration project. In this book, it's a 10-part serial about basically a paranormal police force. It's called the Department of Paranormal Regulation, and the storyline basically goes that there's a police force that, you know, operates obviously independent of the human police, and their job is to police paranormal crimes and stuff like that and, you know, keep the secret of the paranormal world for the rest of the humans. So it starts out with, there's two main characters, Erica Campbell, who Allison writes her point of view, and then Quinn Walker, which is my character that I write her point of view. Quinn is a shapeshifter, and Erica is a human, and they are partners, and at the beginning of the first book, they don't really get along. So it's kind of about their journey. There's a bigger plot line of, you know, a bad guy that takes place and goes through, you know, all the books that you start seeing coming out in those first 1, 2, and 3 books. You know, it starts to get bigger and bigger. And then there's kind of like, we've been referring to it as like a case a week. So it really reads a lot like a crime TV show, which was our goal. That's why we call them, you know, episodes and not parts. So the first one is actually out. The next one comes out, let's see, I have no idea when I'll actually be able to upload this podcast, so it comes out this Thursday, which looking at the dates, that's like, I don't know, the 26th or something like that, 25th, I believe, so August 25th, and then episode 3 comes out September 1st, so then there will be like a week or two break in between the 4th and 5th ones coming out, so they're going to be released pretty rapidly. They're only $1.49, yes, that is it, $1.49, and you get quite a bit for that. I think that most of those early books are about 30,000 words, so it's a pretty decently sized, it is a serial, it comes out pretty quick, but I mean, check it out, it's got everything, guys. It's, you know, paranormal creatures, romance, you know, action, mystery, intrigue, you know, Quinn has a love interest, as does Erica, so there's that drama going on, aside from, you know, their badass policeness. So it's pretty interesting. And then on to what I'm sure some of you are pretty curious about. I am working on Lightbringer. I actually just started recording this after working on it. Got 1,000 words of that done. and I don't know what's up. This collaboration project took a while for me to finish with Allie. It was pretty hard to work on our own stuff while we were collaborating with this because we traded chapters back and forth, and it seemed like once I finished a chapter and sent it off to her and sat down to write at my own stuff, she had the chapter back to me already. You know, it was 10 whole books of decent length, so that really put a halt to my own writing. But we're just finishing up the editing on these as we get them released, so that will be done very soon, I hope, and completely off my plate. It's like 90% off my plate right now, as far as actual writing. So I've been working on Lightbringer, and guys, it is like pulling teeth to get this sucker written. I don't know what is going on. You know, every writer has their bouts of writer's block, and I think just switching back to my own story, I have to kind of relearn and how I want to get writing done. You know, I used to always write a lot by hand, and now I'm writing a little more on the computer, which is nice because that's faster. But so it's coming, guys. Slowly but steadily, I've been forcing myself to sit down and write something of it every day. I actually was feeling pretty discouraged, and I sent my mom the first half of Lightbringer that's done, and I was like, I need you to read this and make sure, and just tell me, like, it's not garbage. And she was like, it is amazing, and I was like, thank you, Mom, you're my hero, my savior. So aside from that, like I have been promising, in 2017 I plan to release 4 books. One of them is obviously Lightbringer. Once I can get a first draft out and start the editing, I should have a better idea of when exactly it will be released. The other one is Staring at the Stars, which is Jenny and Kobe's story from The Things We Can't Change. I know some of you are probably pretty excited about that. And then the third one is called Shatterproof, and that's Dominic's story. I won't tell you about who his woman is just yet, but it is a familiar face. So more news on that to come. And I really like his story, but that's another one that I was having trouble with. I actually was working on it and it is mostly done, but I felt like I needed to take a break, so I put it to the side and I'm going to work on Lightbringer and get a first draft of that going. And once I get Lightbringer off to, you know, my editing and beta team and stuff like that, I'm going to dive back into Shatterproof and hopefully wrap up the complete first draft of that, so that by the time people finish editing Lightbringer and such, I'm going to be like, here's Shatterproof, go again. So, and then the fourth book that will release in 2017 is another one of my summer novellas. This one is actually quite a bit, I would say, let's see, I think it's like either twice or a little bit more than that, longer than The Summer I Gave Up Boys. It's called The Summer I Got Back with Cooper Grace. It is about Emma and Cooper, and her name is Emma Joy, and she and Cooper, who was her boyfriend, always spent summers at Lake Mary. It takes place in Minnesota, up north. that was actually like Boston, I don't know what I'm doing. So they go to Lake Mary every summer, and it kind of takes place over the summer with that, and Emma and Cooper used to date, and both of them thought, you know, and sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. They used to date, and they broke up. And so it starts out with Emma going back to Lake Mary for that summer between her junior and senior years of high school. Her sister is getting married at the lake that summer, and she thinks that Cooper isn't going to be there all summer because he was going, it's been a while since I read this book, I don't remember where he was supposed to be, but she thought she was safe, so she brought a friend and went out to the lake, and then it turns out that Cooper is going to be there. He came because he thought Emma was going to be at a film camp, but she ended up not being able to go, so they're stuck together for the summer with their friends that they brought along, and as you can tell from the title, it's, you know, I wanted to use these summer novellas to kind of explore, you know, rather than just doing the romance of the boy meets girl, exploring, you know, like Kalia and Isaiah, boy and girl have already met, and then they get together, and so this one, you know, it's, they've already been dating, and now they're, getting back together. So, you know, I have a few very vague ideas for other ones that I want to do and just keep these kind of short and sweet and kind of, you know, more of a comedic thing than my other works. Just something fun to read. So that's the fourth and final book that will release in 2017. And as a treat from you, I thought that I would go ahead and explain a few other books that I have dancing on my mind that once I finish Lightbringer and Shatterproof, I'll be diving into and hopefully spend next year writing quite a few books so that I have a lot more to release for you guys in 2018. I have ideas for a lot of standalones that I think I want to make it my goal to work on and write to release rather than, you know, get a little break from big epic series like The Things We Can't Change and The Fallen Chronicles and stuff like that, just so that, you know, there's not that big wait. Like, I feel bad you guys have been waiting, like, 2 years for Lightbringer to come out, and so, you know, just so there's a little less pressure on me to pump out that next book so you guys can find out what happens next. And, you know, it's nice reading a standalone because you don't have to, you know, you get that fulfilled feeling. I love a big epic series just as much as the next person. It's, you know, my favorite thing, but I'm the type of person that I'm much more likely to pick up a big series once all the books are out. Like Hunger Games, I didn't read those till all the books were out. Trying to think what else, but there's very few books that I, you know, I just rather wait till all the series is done before even starting because I get desperate waiting for the next thing to come. Like when I'm Netflixing a show, I have to sit down and watch. Oh, I'm so addictive. The book I'm actually like dying to come out next is Sabah Tahir, I think is how you say her name. The first book is An Ember in the Ashes, and the next one comes out on August 30th, A Torch in the Night. I'm so freaking excited for that book. I love that series. It was one of those books where, like, after I read it, I gave it to everyone I knew that liked to read and didn't like to read, and I was like, you need to read this because we need to talk about it because the book doesn't come out for a year, and I need to talk about it. So, my friend Ashley and I are very excited for that next book to come out, and it comes out in a week. So excited. Anyway, on to my stuff. Strange little rant right there. So, some of the standalones I've been thinking about and are basically, Allie and I like to refer to them as nebulous whispers for when we just kind of have that story idea. And forgive me if I can't pitch them so they sound super exciting to you guys. That is a common problem with writing is you have this idea for a story in your head and it all sounds amazing, but when you try and explain it out loud, it's just, like, ridiculous. So, the first one, and I've actually written just some random bits, you know, in my spare time that I've been thinking about is, would be a high school story, and it's about this kid named Hudson, and while he's in school, he accidentally picks up this notebook, it gets mixed in with his stuff, and it is a diary of someone at school, but he doesn't know whose diary it is. And the premise is that over the summer, something happened with his brother. I won't tell you the exact situations, but his brother died, who, Hudson is a senior in high school, and his brother is probably about 20 years old. So his brother died, and he's kind of dealing with that loss and actually finds, you know, ways to cope with it and stuff like that and help from this diary that he found. And it's written by a girl. That much is obviously going to be clear. So he's going to kind of get la la la, lost my train of thought. It's going to kind of inspire him to make some changes in his life and stuff like that. That's kind of the first part of the book is all about Hudson from his point of view. And then he's also trying to figure out, you know, like by process of elimination and hints within the diary and stuff, who this diary belongs to, because he really, you know, likes this girl and helped him and he kind of thinks he's fallen in love with her. So he has to kind of find out who it is. The second half of the book is him, you know, he actually realizes midway who it is and has to figure out then how to tell them that he's read their whole diary and all these things that he doesn't, you know, you normally don't know about a person, has to kind of face with that. And we get a little of her point of view as well, and see how they come together and deal with all that. And, you know, he helps her with some of her issues that he knows about because of this diary. So, you know, I think that's a pretty interesting perspective. You know, just a kind of sweet little high school romance thing that I think will be very touching because of the brother loss thing. The way I have that in my head, it's really good. I love writing about, you know, close siblings and sibling love. In Lightbringer, there's actually a brother-sister with the main character, and I love writing about that. I loved writing about, you know, Zeke and Cindy and their bond and stuff like that. I just think that there's not enough of that in books and in society today. I know that I'm not super close with a lot of my siblings, even though there's 7 of us. But, you know, I remember one time, this is going to sound super dramatic, but I swear it wasn't as dramatic as it seems to be. But I work in retail, and one time this homeless guy came into my store with a knife and was, like, at the front end, clearly drunk and, like, waving it around. And I was the manager on duty and had to come up there, and, like, he just had this knife and had to call the police. And it was, you know, no one was hurt. He set the knife down shortly after I started talking to him and stepped away from it. And then I called the police and they came in, and eventually he kind of just walked out of the store and left it there. But, you know, so afterward, obviously, I was like, texted my whole family, and I was like, oh my gosh, this guy with a knife just came in the store, blah, blah, blah. You know, the most epic thing that had happened at our store in, like, 3 months. And so I texted my older brother, Kelly, who is on the cover of the Things We Can't Change books, and loosely, Zeke is based off of him, and it's actually his girlfriend, Kate, who is Evie in the covers. They did a photo shoot for me. It's them. That's actually my brother and his girlfriend on the book covers. You know, I texted him about it, and he was the only, you know, everyone else in my family was like, oh my gosh, are you okay? That's kind of crazy, blah, blah, blah. But Kelly was like, you know, I'm getting kind of mad. Do they have security there? Like, how did that guy get in the store? And, you know, just kind of went off about, like, you know, are you safe there? What's happening? This is ridiculous. And so, you know, at first I was just kind of touched and stuff. And then I was actually writing this scene. It was while I was still writing The Things We Can't Change. And Zeke was, it's this part, I can't remember which book, where Zeke was thinking about how, you know, he's Cindy's older brother and it's his job to protect her and keep her safe, and he failed at that, even though obviously we all know, like, there was nothing he could really do because Tony's a freaking asshole and mowed her down. But, you know, it was just touching, and I texted Kelly and I was like, you know, you're the only one that, you know, said anything about my safety, and I'm writing this scene about a brother and sister, and I just wanted to thank you. And he's just like, you know, I'm your big brother, it's my job. And I was like, so touching. Anyway, all of that going back, but, you know, sibling love and bond and connection and stuff, like, I really enjoy reading about those stories because I don't think it's done enough. So there's going to be, obviously they can't reconcile because Hudson's brother is dead. I know, me and my killing people, whatever, but you don't actually see it happen. It happens before the book starts, so there's not, like, sob stories with that. So I'm excited to write about that angle. Another standalone story that I have, it's something a little bit different for me. It's more of a thriller style, I would say. This one is aimed at more of a young, new adult target. It takes its main character, her name is Maggie. She is about my age, 25-ish, you know, fresh off living on her own and stuff like that. I would say this is like thriller merged with The Things We Can't Change, merged with just, you know, a romance. So I'm trying to think exactly how much I can tell you without actually ruining anything, because the way I have it plotted out in my head, like, there's lots of secrets and stuff that you have to just keep reading. But basically, I would say essentially she's got a stalker, but it's not a stalker story. It's not quite like that. And she's actually going to be scared of the dark from some past traumatic childhood things that I cannot get into and ruin the story. But so she essentially is awake like all night because she can't go to sleep because she's so terrified of the dark, has, you know, every light in her house on and blazing. And the story's going to open with her having to kind of venture out in this one-off thing because she hits her head in some other circumstance as well that I cannot explain and has to go to the ER to get stitches because her head won't stop bleeding. And while there, she meets our hero of the story, Dr. Liam Shaw. He is a ER resident. On the verge of finally finishing his residency. And so he just thinks that she's weird because she's there, like, freaking trembling because she had to come out at night and stuff like that. And so she finally makes it back home, and so it's kind of exploring that and her issues of why she's afraid of the dark. And then there's kind of a villain, you know, that is obviously responsible for some of that we'll get into, and Liam and her, you know, start falling in love and la-da-da-da-da. I think I'm going to have that one take place in Little Rock, Arkansas, where I'm currently living because of something that happens later in the story that I can only do if I place it there. So that one's pretty exciting. I'm really excited to try and start writing that one because there's it's a little bit different for me. And then, as many of you know, I've mentioned before, I plan on doing a Lemon Bay series, and Shatterproof, Dominic's story, actually paves the way for that because his story takes place in Florida at Lemon Bay College. That's where he's going to go to college. So you kind of get a little insight to that world. You know, I like to have the little connections in my stories. If you read them, there's a cameo almost of like every character in the different books and stuff like that. They're mentioned. So it kind of, you see some of the people that are going to be in that Lemon Bay series, and if you've read The Summer I Gave Up Boys, the Isaiah story of it, you know that Kalia actually has a cousin named Simone, and one of those Lemon Bay books is her story. This is all going to be, like, standalone, independent, romance books, you know. It's just, there's going to be, I think it's 6 books. Simone is one of them. I can tell you the names of the other girls. They are, let's see, there's Addie, Simone, Wendy, Daphne, and Wynn, I think are all of them. Is that 6? Maybe it's only 5. Oh, and Elena is the other one. So yeah, 6. So it kind of explores each of them. There is like an order technically that you could read them in, you know, that they'll be released, but they are standalone and could technically be read in any order. You know, it's not like an ongoing story. So I have plans for all of those. I felt like I had some other standalone ones that I was going to share with you. I guess I can pull up, got my folder right here. But I have had some other ideas for like standalones and stuff like that in this series. I don't have an exact plot for this one, but I'm going to go ahead and share it because maybe if any of you know of a book like this, I would love to hear it and read about it. I don't know if any of you have read any books by Dee Henderson, but she's freaking amazing. She does Christian fiction actually, but it's action, and she has books about like the O'Malley series is really great. It's about, like, people in, you know, life-or-death jobs, like a hostage negotiator, a U.S. marshal, a paramedic, a firefighter, a psychologist with the Red Cross, and then she has other ones that are Army series, and they're just really great. They mix in, you know, the action with faith and God and stuff like that, and that was a big author that I read while I was working on my Fallen Chronicles series and stuff like that, and she was just really, she's really amazing. The O'Malley series, I definitely recommend it. But I have had this idea in my head for a while, and all I really have is that I would love to read a book about a woman that is in the Army, and we see, you know, her fall for a guy that is not in the Army. So if any of you know a book with that premise, I would love to hear it, because I feel like I would really need to, like, dig into Army life and, you know, talk to like a woman who's been in the Army and what challenges and stuff that they faced. But I would just love to see that. And, you know, it's a, you know, a girl that comes from like even a military legacy family. You know, there's always all these families that, you know, they all join the Army, and it's man or woman. That's what they do. You know, Air Force, Army, Marines, whatever it is. And, you know, the guy she falls for is, you know, just turning that stereotype up on, you know, around on its head. So if by any chance you listen to this podcast and you're a woman in the Army and would want to, you know, totally tell me a ton of what it's like for you so that I know, you know, I just can't write about it off the top of my head. I can use my imagination for a lot of things, but I would really want that to ring true. And then the guy that she falls for, you know, normally if you see an Army story, it's like this guy and he's big and buff and in the Army and, you know, really manly. And I have no problem with that. I, you know, stereotypes are there sometimes in books for a reason. And that's fine, but I would love to see it the other way around. You know, this woman in the Army is just, like, freaking badass and falls for, you know, not even falls for it. She has to somehow get this guy involved. I've had vague ideas on how they, you know, get involved with each other and why he's important to her, because it's hard to have, like, an Army story with, you know, keeping them in the U.S., basically, because they generally aren't dealing with things that the normal police or FBI or people couldn't handle. Anyway, but, you know, it's usually a big buff Army guy with a woman that's in distress and a little bit helpless and stuff, and I would love to see that the other way around. It's, you know, this badass Army chick that, you know, she has this family legacy that she's upholding, and she's just strong and capable and, you know, always calm in a crisis. And then it's the, like, this nerdy geek guy that's like a computer programmer or an accountant and stuff like that. And, you know, she's the one who's pulling him out of these situations and stuff like that. Oh, I just think that would be so amazing. And I would love to write a book like that. Oh, I remember another standalone idea that I had that it's another one that I would probably need to do research on. I think that's the hard part about writing. This one would be like a cop story, and it can be hard because those ones require real research, and it's not necessarily stuff that you can learn on the internet. You know, you don't really learn about day-to-day life for cops and stuff by reading stuff on the internet. My next best resource is probably watching TV shows, because there are some good ones that portray what the life is like, but I'd have to see. So this one would be, I think the characters in my mind, I've already been calling them Ben and Mia. So basically, Mia's brother, well, I don't know why I keep killing off siblings, but Mia's brother and Ben were in the Army together, and Mia's brother died, and obviously, you know, before he died, the brother was like to Ben, you know, take care of Mia if anything happens to me, blah 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 blah. So Mia was going to school to be a lawyer, her brother dies, and she just goes off the deep end, and I'm not talking, like, depressed mess, necessarily. Obviously, she is a depressed mess, but I'm talking, like, she drops out of school and not necessarily starts doing drugs and drinking, but kind of. But she just basically falls into, you know, a different lifestyle. And that's just kind of how she's living. And she's like, I don't know what line I'm trying to draw here, but there was like the Evie mess, which is like not functioning. I'm picturing more of a, like, she quits bartending and, or I'm sorry, she quits law school and, like, bartends at this club and, you know, guys going in and out of her door and stuff, but she's still functioning and going through life because several years pass. And so Ben, you know, he gets out of the Army, joins the police force and stuff. I think this would probably have to take place in Miami, which is where our DPR books are, but I don't know, because there would be drug stuff. So, you know, Ben still tries to catch up with Mia and stuff like that, you know, and watch out for her, and it's like, why are you doing this? And Mia's like, leave me alone. You know, this is my life now, blah, blah, blah. And so, in the meantime, Ben is also working on this investigation into this drug lord. And so they go into this bar, which the drug lord owns. And it turns out it's the one that Mia is bartending at. And this drug lord dude is also like a, this is one of those ones that seems great in my head, but when I try to explain it, it's going to be like, what? That's all stupid. I swear it would kind of work in the book context. But so this drug lord is also like Mia's like sometime kind of flame, you know. And so Ben walks in there and Mia has, you know, they have this in to this drug lord and whatever else is going on. Obviously there needs to be like more going on than just drugs and busting this guy and whatever. So there's kind of, you know, Ben is like, do I like, you know, use Mia and stuff. And so eventually they would. They pull Mia aside and are like, you need to get cleaned up and we need to use you for this case because you can be our in. And she's like, you know, absolutely not. But eventually she's probably going to agree to do it or something like that. So she has to like dry out and then go in and kind of basically spy on this dude and stuff. And, you know, that's kind of all I got. But obviously she and Ben, you know, rekindle. I don't think it would be that they like always had a crush on each other, because I really hate that she's my brother's sister and forbidden, but now I want to get with her, blah, blah, blah. I think that it would be more of like a sibling thing, and the romance attraction would be developing as, you know, time goes on with this case. But I really like the idea of that one. It seems like it could be really great in my head, but obviously when I explain it, it sounds like a really terrible made-for-TV movie. So, but anyway, yeah, that's kind of the stuff, the things that I have on my mind, you know, to start writing after Lightbringer and stuff, because even though those books will be just releasing only next year, the, blah, 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 I lose my train of thought so easily, but I, you know, I'm working overnights, okay? Don't sue me. Just don't hold it against me. So anyway, don't steal any of my ideas. I guess that's a danger here, but, so that's kind of what's coming up. Welcome to the podcast. Hoping to make this a weekly thing. Probably Wednesdays, I guess, would be the day that I will be putting these out for Writing Wednesdays, Cush Books. I'm also planning on doing a different kind of podcast that's completely unrelated to writing. Just kind of like a vlog and talking about, you know, just things. So once I get some information up for that, I'll be posting that kind of stuff out as well. And like I said, you know, check out our DPR book. The first one is episode 1, Bloodlines, and episode 2, Double Take, releases on August, what did we say, 27th, I think? And then September 1st comes episode 3, which is To Catch a Wolf. So yeah, check it out, guys, and I suppose I'll be seeing you around. Hope you enjoyed this. Let me know what you thought, okay? Later, guys.